1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 12, page 1332 in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May the Lord bless His word to us. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have days when I can hardly remember what I did the day before or the day before that. And I was afraid that that was an indication that I was indeed getting older. Some of you are smiling, so you have the same experience. But Fred DeYoung, our intern pastor, told me that he also has it, that he can't remember what he did the day before, and he's a lot younger than I am. But if we have difficulty remembering the past, how much more difficulty do we have in predicting the future? We may make an informed guess, or we may have an intuitive feeling about what is going to happen, but none of us really knows what will take place. And that is why it is, brothers and sisters, that we must live by the promises of our Lord. The promises of our Lord are the only trustworthy guide that we have, that any of us has, into the future. And we have one such promise right at the beginning of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul remembers with joy the fellowship that he has had with the believers in Philippi, a joy that extends from the first day until now. Verse 5 of chapter 1. That is, from the moment those Philippians were converted, right up until the present time, Paul experiences joy. But Paul can also look ahead into the future with confidence. He says in verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What the Apostle Paul is talking about is what many of us have come to know as the perseverance of the saints. And by saints, we don't mean special people who have heroic records of good works, but we mean ordinary people. People like ourselves who know that their sins have been forgiven in the blood of Jesus. Ordinary people who are seeking to live day by day according to the will of our Father in heaven. And by perseverance, we mean that these people are not going to lose that faith. They are Christians, and they are going to remain Christians throughout their lives. Yes, they are going to have their ups and their downs, and they're going to have their good days and their bad days, and some of them may even be very severely tested and tempted to forsake the faith. But they are going to remain faithful to the Lord, and they will be saved on the day of judgment. Paul has good memories about his contact with the church in Philippi. He says in verse 3, "I thank my God every time I remember you." Positive that there are sons and daughters of this congregation who think exactly the same way and who thank the Lord for every remembrance they have of Cottage Grove Church and its ministry to them. But then Paul turns to the future and he says that that future is going to be every bit as good and bright as the past. And probably even better. He says, I am confident that the Lord who has begun a good work in you, that the Lord will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Now there are many Christian brothers and sisters who have a very hard time speaking with that confidence. The idea that the children of God will persevere in the faith and that they will never be lost, well, that just somehow doesn't mesh with our experience. And they will point to examples of people who have been raised in the church, who have gone to Sunday school and have gone to catechism, and then they have made profession of faith, but who eventually turn against the Lord and turn against the church, and you never see them among the Lord's people. And maybe you know from your own experience persons who fit into that category. These brothers will say, well, we have the freedom to accept Christ. We also have the freedom to reject Christ. This is a true story. I'm not sure whether it was a little girl or a little boy, but it was a child. Let's say it was a little boy. It took place in Philadelphia. And this little boy was caught doing something very naughty. And his mother said to him, "Now, why did you do that? Didn't you open your heart to let Jesus in?" And the little boy responded, "Yes, but I opened my heart again and let him out." And that was the explanation for his behavior. Well, you know and I know that very good and very valid questions can be raised about the perseverance of the saints. And we'll come back to that in a moment. But right now it is important for us to realize that there is no way for us to get around what Paul is saying in chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. First of all, Paul says that a good work has begun in you. A good work has been begun in you, and that good work is something that we refer to by various names. Sometimes we call that good work conversion. But when we think of conversion, we often think of that moment in time when we came to faith in Christ Jesus, and there was a tremendous turnaround in our lives. Conversion refers to that moment of change, radical and dramatic change. But Paul is talking not only about that moment, he is talking about an ongoing work. A work of transformation that has a beginning and that is still going on. Paul says in chapter 2 that we are to work out our salvation, for it is God who works in us to will and to act according to His good pleasure. Yes, there is a moment of conversion, but there is also an ongoing work of conversion, a process of transformation. That is the good work that has been begun, a process of sanctification, if you will. A heart and life that are changed and that are constantly changing for the good. We can also think of it as a new birth, and not simply that moment of birth, but that process of growth which follows the birth. A good work has been begun in you. Secondly, Paul says that God has begun this good work in you. Remember that Paul is writing to the Philippians. And it was not his intention to minister in that city, not originally in any case. Paul intended to carry on other work. But the Lord God put it into his heart and his mind to preach the gospel in this city. And as a result of a vision from the Lord, he is carried to that place. And so in a very real sense, we can see how the Lord God has begun this work among these people. But Paul says, a good work in you. And when Paul arrived at this city, he went to a place by the river where he thought he could find some women gathered for prayer, and there he began to preach. And the first convert was Lydia. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 16 that the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. She did not open her own heart, but the Lord opened her heart. The Lord began this good work in this city, in Lydia and in others as well. Yes, this is a work of the Lord, a good work, which is begun by God. And then thirdly, Paul says that this same God who began this good work will also bring it to completion. How many times have you and I begun a project, but we have failed to bring that project to completion? And we become experts at making excuses for ourselves. But Paul is saying that the living God does not operate that way. When the living God begins to work on a human heart, the Lord God does not stop short completing the work which he has begun. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The Lord God will finish that work. That's the main thing. But Paul also says the completion of that work will coincide with the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that day can be no other than the day on which our Lord Jesus will return from heaven to judge the living and the dead. We know that this process of transformation goes on throughout our lives, and then at the moment of death, our souls are made perfect and they go to be with the Lord. But the work is not really finished until Jesus returns from heaven on that last day and our bodies are raised from the dead and transformed into the image of his body, so that in the wholeness of our created person, we are forever with the Lord. God does not save simply souls. He saves people, body and soul, and that's what we confess in question and answer number one of our catechism. God begins the work of conversion, and God carries on the work of our conversion, and the same Lord God, by the resurrection power of Christ, will finish that work according to his eternal plan and purpose. And that's what we mean by the perseverance of the saints. Now, on the foundation and basis of that truth, the Apostle Paul can look to the future with sustained joy and confidence. The joy of your fellowship, which I have known, lo, these many years, will never be interrupted. Never, ever. Yes, that's what Paul is saying. And there's no way that you and I can get around it. And if we deny the perseverance of the saints, we are not really listening to what the Bible is saying. But now that other troublesome question, how does that mesh with our experience? What about that person who maybe even served as an elder in the church or a deacon? Then he walks off with someone else's wife. He says farewell to the church, farewell to the gospel, and farewell to Jesus Christ. How can Paul speak on this occasion with such confidence that God, who has begun a good work, will carry it on to completion? Brothers and sisters, 2 years ago, the Minnesota Twins won the World Series. Now, you're going to hear me refer to that many times, because it was such a tremendous experience for all of us who were living in Minnesota and especially in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. What a thrill that was! And what a morale booster it was for Minnesota and for the Twin Cities. And as the season began to draw to a close, you could feel the excitement building. Confidence was growing. We had what it took to win. We had Kirby Puckett. We had Frank Viola. We had Ken Herbeck. And we had many others. And we just knew that we were going to win the World Series. We were confident, not because we had some psychic power so that we could predict the future. No, we weren't in the business of prediction. We were confident because we had the resources. And we talked about victory. And we encouraged one another by speaking with confidence. Now, bearing that in mind, listen once again to how the Apostle Paul speaks. Paul says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That's not the confidence of someone who thinks he can predict the future. That's the confidence of one who knows the resources of divine power. One who is assured of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. It is the confidence of someone who believes the promises of God. The confidence of one who knows that salvation is wholly and exclusively from beginning to end, all of grace. And Paul speaks this way with confidence in order to encourage the Philippians to remain steadfast in the confession they have made, to stand up against opposition, to bear up against persecution, and to bear up under temptation. Yes, brothers and sisters, God will begin His work in us and He will bring it to completion. Therefore, let us remain steadfast and unmovable. You know and I know that there are brothers and sisters who fall by the wayside. And we have to conclude that the work that was begun in them, whatever it may have been, was not of the Lord. But Paul writes so that brothers and sisters will not fall by the wayside. He does not want that to happen, and that's why he teaches us to think about and to remember the promises of God and to think perseverance. We have to look to the future with confidence. Not the confidence of presumption, but the confidence of faith resting upon the promises of God. My prayer today is that Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 will boost your spiritual temperature. If you have a friend, a son, or a daughter, and you're wondering which way it's going to go, you're going to be nervous. And when you're nervous, you can't speak to that friend or that son or daughter with confidence. And your nervousness and your anxiety shine through. That's going to affect adversely your ability to speak a word for Jesus. But if in your heart you have the confidence that God will bring to completion a good work that He has begun in His people, then you're not going to be nervous. And the freedom of your joyful confidence will bear fruit for eternity. No, you don't speak with a superficial presumption. You don't speak as though you're making a prediction. But you speak on the foundation of God's promise, which you believe with all of your heart. And God honors the faith, those who trust His covenant love. Really, brothers and sisters, it's not all that important whether you can remember what you did yesterday or the day before. But what is absolutely essential is that you have confidence with respect to tomorrow. A confidence born of faith in the promises of our Lord. Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day Christ Jesus. Father in heaven, we pray that you will imbue us with that confidence so that we may speak to ourselves and to our children and to our loved ones with confidence, being assured that you will perform your work according to your eternal purpose. We do thank you, Lord, for the promises that you have made to us. Enable us to believe them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.